another day. Sit right here and have
sounds about right in the middle of winter, right here in Mexico. And coming up after the 7 o'clock news this morning, we're going to chat with James Bogus, CEO of the Regina Airport. They've got all the winter direct flight offerings now put together. Brace yourself. Not in the crash position, though, please. But we should expect a little less in the way of options this winter. That's the early word I'm getting from him. But we'll confirm everything with James after the 7 o'clock news. Also coming up probably before I'm off the air at 8:30, we'll know whether or not economists are right. They're expecting the Bank of Canada to announce a cut to its key lending rate this morning after three consecutive holds at 2.75%. Most feel that's going to be trimmed by a quarter point today. RCMP releasing the name of the victim in that highway shooting near Weyburn last Friday, identified as Tanya Myers. She was the passenger in the SUV when she died on Highway 39. Superintendent Josh Graham read a statement from her family who described her as just an amazing energy healer, a real animal lover. Always gets me when I hear families talk about their loved ones lost, and she sounded like a terrific person. Of course, we've heard now from RCMP about how there were two people in the SUV that were driving. They heard that loud sound of apparently a gunshot that came through the vehicle, hit Tanya in her passenger seat. And needless to say, it's not only awful but disturbing that someone is out there firing around so carelessly, right? But you might hope to hear it could have been someone who just was indeed that careless and hopefully will come forward. But that kind of has changed with the RCMP investigation right now when they got word of another vehicle passing through the same vicinity on Friday, who then called the cops the next day after hearing about what had happened, and they thought maybe their vehicle could have been shot at too, and they noticed a flat tire in the morning. So RCMP, sure enough, investigated and identified that the tire was flat from a gunshot. So now it sounds a little more sinister, doesn't it? A second vehicle shot at. Maybe it was not at all accidental after all. We just don't know. And let's face it, it's scary for anyone driving still on Highway 39 or anywhere for that matter in the area, wondering if whoever did this is going to try it again. Very unnerving for everyone. And obviously, Tanya Myers' family deserves closure too and finding out who and why anyone would do this. But it's all we know at this point. And RCMP will hopefully update us with further information when they get it too. Our Premier Scott Moe was in Ottawa yesterday to meet Prime Minister Carney, fresh off his trip. The Premier was to meet, and this was interesting. Our Vasha Kapelas from CTV, who you hear on the weekends here on 980 CJME, she asked Mo yesterday if while in China, he got explicit clarity from them. Is the real reason they levied those canola tariffs on us because of the 100% EV tariff? And do those tariffs have to be removed on EVs for things to change? Like, remember, they were originally levied because our government wanted to work in concert with the United States, even the EU at the time, citing national security concerns for imposing the EV tariff.
It's one of the irritants, and there's irritants on both sides. Canada has, trade issues with China, notably canola, but there's irritants on the other side as well, whether it be EVs or other products as well. And it is one of the parts of the dialogue that needs to happen. And, you know, as we look forward to the next number of weeks and months, what I would hope is that there's an increasing frequency of that dialogue, increasing presence of Canadian ministers meeting with their Chinese counterparts so that we can find a spot that is, constructive for both countries moving forward.
Mo seems pretty confident there is some sort of path forward. He's just not sure if that path can be found this year as much as he wants it.
There's a process for that to happen. And so what I would hope for and what we discussed today was what opportunity do we have for federal ministers and maybe the parliamentary secretary, Cody Bloise, as well, to either return to China or to continue with the engagement and keep the momentum going that occurred here this past week with the time that we spent on the ground in China. But a lot of engagement needs to happen, whether it's industry to industry, federal government, minister to minister. And I'm confident that the federal ministers that I spoke to today understand that and are putting that into their schedule in the immediate future.
Kevin Martell away on Vacation City, and it is Andrew Shepherd. The boys of summer are into the last week of the season, literally, and man, are your Jays doing well, Shep. This has got to be a fun time for you. They're, what, on a six-game winning streak,
and their magic number to clinch the AL East, not even just make the playoffs, but to clinch the AL East for the first time since that great year in 2015. Their magic number is six now.
Well, they've got, what, a five-game lead on New York?
Five-game lead on New York because they won last night, but also New York won as well. So it stayed at five. But yeah, it's looking like they got a good chance to clinch it. So that means they won't have to do a wild card series as long as they're one of the top two division winners in the American League, they're the top. And
okay.
It's looking good, Greg. We can talk about this some more if you want.
Won't it come down to pitching, though? And I thought there was some concern. I'm not a big baseball fan, but other Jays fans concerned about pitching.
There was a lot of concern about pitching last year, and they have made up for that, I would say. There's been recently some concerns about their closer, Jeff Hoffman. He's let in a lot of home runs, but they just brought up their pitching prospect, number one pitching prospect, Treya Savage, who had a franchise record debut for strikeouts with nine.
Okay,
he's looking good.
Okay,
I
Shep.
Think it's looking good.
All right.
Optimistic.
You never sound like you're as excited at anything else than you do right now about the Blue Jays.
Listen, they've only made, lifetime, they've only won the division a handful of times in my lifetime.
What was going on last night that a lot of people were probably screaming at the top of their lungs in aggravation on Albert Street because a train had blocked the path there on I think it was near First Avenue, right, on Albert?
Yeah, Roman Hader was heading home, and he got caught up in this as well. A train was stopped blocking there. Someone said, he was there, and he said someone told him as they were going by that it may have hit a power line or something, and we're still looking to confirm that with Sask Power and CN. There was a power outage in that area for the Coronation Park, Highland Park, Churchill Downs area. Most of that's been restored. Some people are still without power this morning. And the Sask Power map says they're looking to come back and be restored to sometime today.
Okay. And a quick update for all of those concerned in Weyburn. The RCMP have confirmed now two vehicles were shot at. Is that right?
Yeah, this is just such a bizarre story. They have found another SUV owner who didn't realize they heard what they thought, some pops as they were driving that same area, even had once passed the other vehicle where the woman was shot and killed in, and thought it was maybe rocks or something, went home. Next day, woke up and found that their tire it was flat tire, and that police confirmed it was a gunshot that caused it. So two vehicles now. They've identified the woman as 44-year-old Tanya Myers. She loved cats. She had nine of them. Didn't go out too much, so it was a bit of a not her routine to be out that day. And her family's just in shock and disbelief, and RCMP are asking, even saying, you know, to whoever is behind this to grow a conscience and take responsibility.
All right. Andrew Shepherd from the 980 CJME Newsroom. Coming up after the 7 o'clock news this morning, we're going to chat with James Bogus, CEO of the Regina Airport. We're going to chat about upcoming winter direct flight destinations. I'm hearing may not get as many as we'd like. We'll figure out why that is, but he does have some encouraging news, too, about U.S. direct flights to Denver and many. They're doing well, apparently, and August was a good month, too. So we'll check in with James in just a few moments.
Somewhere there's a big umbrella casting shade over an empty chair.
We're in the final few days of summer, fall arriving on Monday, and if you're one to embrace the change in season by thinking about that winter destination and sunny beach you're going to be spending time on in the winter just to have something to look forward to, well, then don't go far because we've got all the hot destination routes from our CEO of the Regina Airport, James Bogus, who joins me now. Good morning, James.
Hey, good morning, Greg. Is it winter already?
Oh, well, no. Far from it. In fact, this weekend, we're going to be about 27, so we got some good weather left here yet. But I hear in your hot little hands this morning, you have some August numbers that you feel are a good indication of where you're headed there.
You know, we do, and I'm really pleased to share with the listeners, we just had our second month in 2025 exceeding 2019 numbers. Over 106,000 people used the Regina Airport in August, 1.6% above 2019. Totally thrilled, Greg. This is fantastic news for us. It really shows that we're getting close to really being fully recovered and growing really into the future now.
How about U.S. traffic? Do those numbers show if it was up or down with the direct flights to Mini and, say, Denver?
You know, it is. We've had an outstanding year again, and we're up 47% year over year in trans-border traffic, and it's primarily because of these two flights. Denver has been very popular, being such a big airport to connect through, and it's been quite outstanding given everything we're still hearing about the U.S. dying down a little bit, but we're still hearing concern.
Yeah, certainly are, and one of those concerns is in Las Vegas, where they want Canadians to come. I want to know if that's one of the winter destination direct flights you have in store. So let's visit those. What are you offering this winter?
Yeah, so, you know, there's been quite a change, Greg, in strategy with WestJet acquiring Sunwing. We're seeing a shift in the routes they're offering and the frequency they're offering. So typically we'll see a good slate of Mexico, we'll have Cuba, we'll of course have Dominican Republic, and we'll have the three U.S. destinations. So this year, with those connections that we now have with Minneapolis and Denver, they're actually thinning it back a bit. They're only doing Phoenix and Vegas as direct services over the winter, where you can connect every day through Mini and Denver, but where they're going to be offering two flights a week to Phoenix and one flight a week to Vegas. So basically the same as last year. And then in terms of the sun destinations, they're really focusing on Cancun and Puerto Vallarta. Going to be seeing double-digit seat increases for those two Mexico destinations, but they're not going to be offering Cuba or Puerto Plata this year as a nonstop. You're going to have to connect through Calgary or one of the major hubs if you want to check those out. So very interesting moves by WestJet and Sunwing. And remember, they're one company now, so they're just kind of consolidating their operation through YQR and actually a number of other Western Canadian airports.
So do you feel they're ignoring Regina, though? Because, that's kind of disappointing that you're getting less from them. Is it because of lack of airplanes and crew, or is it literally, as you say, a Sunwing WestJet decision?
There's actually a couple of factors. I mean, first and foremost, we got to keep in mind, Mexico is going to be going up about 14% seat capacity year over year. They're really loving the Cancun, Puerto Vallarta, and this is really out of both Saskatoon and Regina. But Greg, remember that hailstorm that you'd heard about with all that aircraft damage and even the AME lockout and strike that had occurred? They're going to be pulling out a number of aircraft from their fleet this winter. It's impacting a number of Western Canadian airports, simply meaning there's going to be a little less flying going on than typical. So that's certainly a factor. But the other factor is we've got a lot of interesting opportunities with these connections now that you can take. Having Denver, having Mini, it's going to offer a really easy route to get into a place like Florida 7 days a week as opposed to a single nonstop once a week. So a bit of a shift in strategy, but certainly the maintenance on WestJet's aircraft this winter, which we knew was coming, is definitely going to impact a little bit of capacity in a number of airports, not just Regina.
All right, James Bogus from the Regina Airport. Just to clarify before I move on, one more thing. Those direct flights that we have options presently, are they direct or are you having to go to Saskatoon from Regina to pick up people one way or the other?
Greg, I always say this. Check WestJet's website, check Sunwing's website. They'll give you the detail. Remember, schedules can change.
All right.
So the positive, sometimes for the negative, but most of these are nonstop.
You're like a politician now. I loved how you answered that.
You just got to check with the airline, my friend.
All right, James Bogus. We're hearing how WestJet flight attendants are preparing to pretty much ask for pay for all the same reasons Air Canada flight attendants were on strike for. WestJet's deal is up in December. That's pretty good leverage to have the holiday season. Does that concern you at all?
We have had a number of labor issues in recent years. All I can say is I'll be back on the show if we hear anything and we can talk more about it. Let's hope for a smooth winter and some decent winter weather.
Those August numbers still in your hand. You want to feel good. Okay, I couldn't take you there.
All right. Not yet. We'll see.
James Bogus, thanks for your time, my friend. Thank you.
Have a great day.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go. So make the best of this test and don't ask why.
It's not a question. Well, Frank must have played this knowing that we're starting with Krista Freeland quitting cabinet again. Yesterday, her co-workers lavishing praise as she walked out of Parliament Hill, and she's still an MP for now. We don't know when that'll end, but she's off to become a special envoy on behalf of Canada helping the reconstruction of Ukraine. Joining me now is Evan Bray. And if there was ever a protagonist in Trudeau's world that brought him down, let's face it, it's her. And now the Liberals, I think, you know, as they throw her a carrot, yeah. I think it kind of takes away that factor that some still kind of
right. Think it's, you know, Trudeau, it's interesting. And I was just reading an article in the Globe and Mail this morning that essentially says that you know, this achieves a couple of things. Number one, it shows Canada's continuing to support you for Ukraine, but it also distances the Carney government from the Trudeau government. It's one more severing of the tie. And you wonder, did that play into this decision or not? Also interesting that it was 9 months to the day, the first time that she stepped away from cabinet, that it's being announced again.
Very interesting. But they didn't really, you know, she's not going to be living in Ukraine.
But what is she going to do, though?
I know.
That's the
thing.
I'm really questioning. Like, we still have an ambassador to Ukraine.
Yeah.
So that's not her job. That she's a special envoy.
In the reconstruction, like, we're a long ways away from reconstruction.
Yeah, and is this Canada's role? I don't know. I have a lot of questions about it. It seems like I think you used the word carrot. It seems like a pretty political appointment, and I'm just maybe
Carney and her walked out together. They were really trying to portray that, hey, we're really friends, because he is the godfather.
Yeah,
right,
that's right.
One of her children.
That's
and,
right.
So I think it is. It's just a nice way of saying, okay, here's what we're doing, and we might just not hear about it for a while now.
Yeah.
But she's still an MP.
I have lots of questions about it, though.
I know you do. And that's why you're the Evan Bray.
Okay, fair enough.
I got questions for you about what's going on in Weyburn here. It sounds a little more sinister. At first, I thought, okay, maybe, if anything, it's just someone that carelessly was playing with their gun, or a hunter. I don't know. I don't want to blame anyone, but I was just hoping that maybe it's just carelessness. But now, with a second vehicle coming to the RCMP the day after that woman died last Friday in the SUV, it sounds like it's more than that, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, Greg. I said that on the show yesterday. Now that we know there's a second vehicle involved, like, to me, this is not just some guy who was shooting at a coyote, missed, and unintentionally hit a vehicle.
Yeah.
And I know, I was talking with a friend last night who said, well, it could be someone who was, you know, trying to sight in a gun. I said, the chances of hitting two vehicles on the highway, like, there's just too much
here. And
doing
it that close, that's a busy highway.
Yeah,
let's face it,
exactly. There's just too much here. So I don't know what the intent was, but I think this should be all stops pulled by the RCMP. Let's get this. I know they are begging the public to, if you've got any sort of surveillance video that faces that highway along that stretch, and they've given a time period for Friday night, they are begging you to comb it, to give it to them, because you might not see something that might be evidence, but they might. So they're urging the public to cooperate there.
All right. But coming out of the news at 8:30, one of your first topics is the self-proclaimed Queen of Canada.
Yeah. Romana Didelot is today is her court appearance. So, you know, they set a court date for her. This likely will be just really a date to set up different upcoming trial dates. But I do have on the show this morning a person who is an expert in this. In fact, she's putting together a podcast. Rachel Brown has done some great investigative journalism. She's done a deep dive into this. She's got a good background on what Romana Didelot's history has been up till now, her pattern of behavior, and she'll be joining me at 8:30 this morning.
And really quick, looks like you're setting up a bar in here around 10 o'clock.
We're talking beer. Right. I've got Sean Moen joining us from 9 Mile Legacy Brewing. We're going to talk a bit about the brewing business, but we're opening up the line. So it's anything you want to ask, any questions you might have about beer, the beer business. It's all
opening
about
opening up the keg lines, you mean?
Opening up
for
the
you.
Lines. A deep dive into beer.
Might get a little wonky by 10:30 if you have too many. Be careful. Evan Bray's back at 8:30.